Good to be back with you again. Just making sure this is on airport or flight or whatever it is. Yeah, otherwise we're going to take off. This morning, just as... just as we started to sing that song, Waymaker, my grandchildren, or four of them, were with us. That's why we can't have children, we got grandchildren. We had four of them with us on Friday night. And so when we were taking them home, the thing that we do with them is that they have to sing songs. And so they sing some of their songs, and then I said to them, come, you guys have to sing. They call me Gumpy because I'm not grumpy. You have to sing my song. And that's the song they sing. When you hear those little voices, it's incredible. It's just like children can sing like we can't sing. And so, yeah, sorry about that. But if you've got a problem with it, you can come next weekend because Kim Muller's going to be preaching. See, I can make myself laugh. No, really, Kim is with us next weekend. He'll be preaching. And then our leaders are coming together. And I want to just open it to everybody. If you feel that you have a leadership call in your life, or you would like to be in that place, I want to encourage you to come. What we're going to do is we're going to have lunch afterwards, so we can bring some sandwiches and stuff. We don't have to be too fancy. And we can have something to eat. And then I've asked Kim to come and share on leadership. Now, Kim used to be the CEO of Calvin Klein. And so he's a really experienced guy in leadership, and we can learn from him. And so if you'd like to come, you don't have to be a leader. You can come. And just all of us lead in some way. Hey? If you're a husband, you should be leading your wife. If you're a husband and a wife, as parents, you should be leading your children. So there's no space for no leading. Wherever we find ourselves, we can be leading. In our work situation, we should be leading. And so, please, you're more than welcome. It'll be, yeah, we're going to come put the food out the back here. We're going to eat, and then we're going to come to the front again, and Kim's going to share with us. Okay, so we've been looking at the book of Revelation, because it revolutionizes your life when you hear about what is to come. And so what we've done is I've broken it up into a whole lot of C's. We've looked at the character of Christ. These are the words of Him who, and it's different to each church. Commendation, I know your deeds, what they've done. Jesus says to him, I've seen your good works. And then he has a complaint, yet I hold this against you. And only two of the churches have nothing mentioned there. Then he corrects them and he says, or else I will come. And guys, we don't want Jesus to come and to correct us. We really don't. This morning we were talking about, is there a hell? That's what the transitioners are speaking about this morning. And the question asked, if you commit suicide, what happens to you? You can ask me afterwards if you'd like to answer, but I'm not going there now. And then, where I want to minister this morning is the conclusion. It says, to him who overcomes, I will. And then he's got, I want you guys to go and look in your Bibles in this section. There's 22 different rewards that Jesus promises us in the future. So it's not for now, it's in the future. And Jesus is not afraid to speak about rewards. And so often we think, oh yeah, once we're saved, we get everything. No, you don't. Once you're saved, you get through the gate. Peter opens it and you walk through. And no one even laughed. Okay. Maybe I should carry on crying. But we get into heaven by salvation. We are justified by faith. But we have to take our faith and take a hold of what Jesus Christ has promised us as his rewards. So we get to this place. And Revelation 2 and verse 7. There we go. Just keep that there. It's in verse 7. It's in verse 11. It's in verse 17. It's in verse 21. It's in chapter 3 and verse 6, 13 and 22. He says it seven times. He says it to every single church. He says to him, whoever has ears. Some of us have got ears and some of us have got an ear. An ear. For the visitors, this is a private joke. Don't worry. If you come back next week, we'll give you the answer. Let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Guys, in the world that we live today, we live in such an there's turmoil around us. I hope you know what I'm speaking about. If you woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, you would have known about it. Eskom decided not to keep my air conditioner on. And I got hot and sweaty, and then the dogs start getting miserable, and we've all got to get up and start moving around. And 4 o'clock's a little early. I like to get up early, but not that early. So I let Patty get up and let the dogs out. I said, babes, Sundays is the only day that I don't get up first. You get up first today. So the first thing we have to do is to develop our spiritual ear. Our spiritual ear, not the ear on our head. We have to learn to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Holy Spirit. When my son Daniel, who leads City Bowl now, was growing up, he said to us that the Holy Spirit is the goodie and the Holy Ghost is the baddie. You know, in the King James, everything's the Holy Ghost. So when you are forced to choose, obey God, not man. Obey God, not man. Never give in to man instead of God. Never. The call to overcome. We see these letters addressed to specific churches, but yeah, we have, it says, whoever has ears. So it's not to churches anymore, it's to individuals. Because you know that judgment will never be on the church, it'll be to individuals in the church. Every one of us is responsible for our own salvation. Every one of us is responsible for the reward that we'll get in heaven one day. So I've said to Patty on a regular basis, babes, you better run because I am sprinting. Not that that's very fast anymore. It used to be faster when I was young. But you better run because I don't want a tiny little reward. I want a big reward. But what happens when Jesus walks in, we take that crown and we actually throw it at his feet. So I want a big crown that I throw at his feet. I don't want this little thing that I go ding. And it just falls off over there and he like stands on it by mistake. Oh, I want a big reward. When I throw that crown before him, I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not, you could have done better. So often, the rewards that we are to receive are not spoken about by the church. They just speak about the fact that we get saved and we go to heaven. No, what we do now on the face of the earth governs our reward in the future. What we do in the present affects us in the future. Judgment is always individual, whether for the purpose of reward or punishment. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Just in case you thought I was making this up. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All, saved and unsaved. That each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. In the ESV it says reward. You know what? Jesus has no problem with putting a reward in front of us. I'm just looking at the time because I've got to keep it to about 40 minutes or so. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. And then this part, for the joy set before him, the joy set before you and me is the rewards that Christ will give us. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For you and me, our cross is the day that we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so as we go through that cross, we then have a reward. And in all the letters, Paul encourages overcomers to think of the prizes waiting for them. Guys, we face so much today on the earth that we've got to have something that we're aiming at and we're working towards. Overcomers need to be pressing towards their goal. Philippians 3 and verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's a picture here. I used to own a Rottweiler. He was powerful. He could bite quite hard too. Hey, babe. But I used to take this dog for a walk. And I couldn't only hold him on his choke chain. I used to have to put a belt around my waist and put it on his thing. So he was pulling on my waist and not only on the choke chain. And then he would take me for a run. That thing, with that picture of trying to stop him and the spit and stuff is drooling down his face and you're holding him and holding him. That's the picture about pressing forward towards the prize. How desperate are you to receive your prize? Or are you just idling along? Oh yeah, I'm born again. It doesn't matter what I do. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to help in church. I don't have to go to community. I don't have to do anything. I'm born again. That's not the picture that Jesus paints. He paints the picture of, I'm gonna get this thing. It belongs to me. It's what I'm achieving. And we need to have faith that he will give us what he's promised us. That's why I want you guys to go and look in the book of Revelation at the end part and see there's 22 rewards that Jesus is going to give us if we overcome and persevere. And so he says, to him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Jesus is highlighting the difference between hearing and heeding. We can't just hear, we have to do. I like to use the same letter. So hearing and heeding. Lips and lifestyle. We have to be those that hear what the Spirit is saying and then we do it. You know what? There are so many people, they come to me and they say, this is what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do. And so I stand there and look at them. And because the pastor's always got all the answers, I stand there and look at them. But this is what God is telling me to do. I said, well, do it. I'm never going to cut across God in your life. If you come to me and say, what do you think I should be doing? I might give you an answer. But don't come to me and say, this is what I feel God is saying, and this is what I need to do, because I'm just going to stand back and say, yeah, that's great. And you know what? If you are hearing God, that is wonderful. That is wonderful, because you know what? Once you make up your mind and you say, this is what I'm going to do, and then you come to me, your heart is already shifted over there. You're not going to listen to what I say. And so I don't want to cause confusion in your life, because what you hear God saying, you better do. I want to ask you this morning, how much notice do you take of what he says? God speaks in many different ways. One of the ways God speaks to me on a regular basis is with nature. He uses nature because you know what? That's one of the things that he's in total control of. And so a little bird will do this and I think, wow, Lord, you're saying that. You know what? In the Old Testament, a donkey even spoke. A donkey saved Balaam's life. So I used to go and sit with my dog and I used to say, what do you want to say, Lord? Dog you. Wants to lick me in the face. Are you happy with me? His tail starts wagging. Yes, Lord, you're happy with me. They say dogs are the only animal that can smile, and they smile with their tail. You never see a dog if it's in trouble and the tail's between its legs. And in Revelation, it says, you will only be blessed if you read and you keep them, the words that God gives you. They cannot only be heard, they must be taken to heart. How's this one for all the parents? Tell me when you say this, if you're a parent. Did you hear what I'm telling you? Did you hear what I told you to do? When do you say that? When they haven't heard and they're not doing what you've told them to do. That's when you say it. We're so prophetic as parents. Why haven't you done what I told you to do? Or have you heard what I've said? I said that often to my kids. I also said to them that they can't get away with anything because God will tell me. And you don't have to be too clever to know to catch them out. Because like they're small and they don't think and they leave like a trail behind them of what happened. But when Jesus speaks to us, he expects a response of positive obedience, not negative. So there's five implications of hearing what Jesus has to say. The first thing is, it's implied that it's extremely important to Jesus. Guys, we need to hear what he's saying to us. This morning I want to pray for us when we finish. And I want to pray that God will help you to hear what he is saying. People often come to me and they say, I can't hear God anymore. Why not? Then I look at them and I say to them, what was the last time you heard God say something? And they'll go back over there. And I'll say, okay, now you start from there and work your way forward. Because disobedience, when he speaks and you don't respond in the way that he wants you to respond, disobedience, he just stops talking. when our children don't listen, it's my son. I'll pick the oldest one. Seth! God goes the other way. Goes, Seth. We get louder, he gets softer. And that's why we can't hear him anymore, because we've been disobedient and we can't hear his voice anymore. So if you're not hearing him, go back to the last time you did hear him. I had a guy recently, he came to me, I can't hear God. I used to hear him so much. And I've been watching this guy, and he bought himself this fancy car. And his wife was so anti, and they were struggling financially. I said, when did God last speak to you? Was it before you bought the car? He said, yes. I said, there we go. That car was not what God wanted for your life. Sell that thing and repent. So he's in the process of doing it. There's no one in this congregation. Patty and I have quite a lot to do with other people in the rest of the congregations in Josh Gen. So this guy, he's gone to go and sell it. I said to him, you will not hear God if you keep that car and you don't repent. You know, it's easy to repent, but to keep the car. When we ask for forgiveness, we need to make restitution as well. You can't just ask for forgiveness. It needs to go one step further, and you need to give back what you have taken. And that can be emotional stuff. It's not always material stuff. So he wants us. Next thing is he calls for us to pay careful attention, to look deeper than the obvious. Sometimes when God speaks to you, you just see the surface thing. Oh, yeah, I can hear you, Lord. But underneath there, God is saying something. He's speaking to you. And you're not hearing him because you're looking at the obvious. Forget about the obvious. Begin to ask God, God, what are you saying? We see in the book of Samuel when Samuel's called as a child with Eli, and he keeps on thinking it's Eli calling him. Then eventually he just says, Lord, speak to me. And God begins to speak to him as a young boy. I want to say something to you. Why I'm going to be praying about the Holy Spirit is it actually takes the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit to actually understand what he's saying to you. You can read the word. I'll read the word, and there are days when I come back to carry on reading and I can't remember what I've read. Let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit burns it into your heart, you don't forget. You do not forget. And so you're asking God all the time, I want revelation, not observation. We all observe what we're reading, but we want God to reveal it to us, what we are reading. We have to ask the Holy Spirit, Parakletos is the Greek word, to come and to walk with us. Otherwise, we won't comprehend what Jesus is saying to us. The Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God through men that were inspired. There were no ladies that wrote in the Bible. Hey, babe. It's very quiet in here. There's more ladies than men. Tian phoned me, or he sent me an email saying, that thing that you said about woman must submit to the husband, I've looked in the Greek interlinear, and I could see, oh, this oak hasn't been married long, he's wanting to squash his wife down. I realize this oak's going to lose. He's not going to win. In the Greek, that sentence, direct translation, says, unto your husband has unto the Lord. So women only have to submit to their husband, no other man. Together they're in submission in the church, but that's the husband. The ladies submit only to their husband, and it says, if their husband's not submitting to the Lord, well then they submit unto the Lord. So if you're not serving God, your wife doesn't have to submit to you. There have been so many occasions when ladies have come to me and they've said, my husband doesn't want to come to church, so I'm not going to come to church. I tell them, well, who are you going to listen to? Unto the Lord. Not your husband. Unto the Lord. When anything cuts across the Word of God, then you have the legal ability, because you're justified, to actually not do what they're telling you to do. There are many things in the government today that are being okayed, but that actually cuts across the Word of God. Guys, we have to live out the Word of God. What the Word says we have to do. Not what we would like to do. And so we see Jesus, the reason he's giving this implication is one of the things he gives because it's to encourage us to push forward into those eternal rewards. And it takes focused determination to lay hold of those truths. Guys, you know what? When my walk with Jesus has not been good, I've lost all vision for the future. You know what? When you haven't got vision, you become a survivalist. There are some cultures where people are survivalists. They just live for today. They only live for the food that they have now and the water that they can drink. They only live for today. That's a survivalist. You're just trying to survive. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm encouraging you to move to the visionary part, where we're looking at the future and we're longing for the future. I start selling stuff for Tiernia about retirement annuities and pensions and provident funds, and those are people that are looking forward. Guys, the hard reality is sometimes you can't afford it, but you need to be trusting God that you can do something about your future. Some of us just don't have the ability to do that. Patty and I've never been in the place to do that. We've got a few endowment policies. Most of them we cashed in so we could plant a church in Nelspruit. But we've never taken our eyes off where we are going. In the book of Revelation, Jesus gives his most in-depth teachings on our eternal rewards. People don't like the book of Revelation because it's weird. But then we sing weird songs about the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who knows what the Lion of the tribe of Judah is if you've never been to church before? That Jesus is the Lion. Judah is his people. And this morning, he's roaring over his people. He's saying, you are mine. You belong to me. But to the casual onlooker, it's like weird. But it's not weird to those that know and understand. The Lion and the Lamb. Jesus came as a man, but he's coming as a Lion on Judgment Day. So guys, we have a call to overcome. And you know what? We can't expect God to overcome for us. We've actually got to do it ourselves. At the end of the book of Revelation, it actually says, if you haven't overcome, you won't receive what God is wanting to give you. You need to overcome, guys. It goes even further at the end of the book of Revelation, where it says, you will actually not get into heaven because you haven't overcome. So we have to live a life that is bringing us to a place of overcoming. We've got to overcome. Some of you have heard our testimony that Patty has shared. We've had to overcome a lot. But today, by the grace of God, we are here. 3 years ago, I had open heart surgery. After going in for a little ECG stress test. That's why when I heard Andrew was going for a stress test, I thought, oh no, Lord. Because this is how it started with me. So an overcomer is one who matures in the area of faithfulness that God is asking them to. So not all of us will be the same. Some of us will work in the corporate world and God would say, I want you to overcome there. I want you to be a testimony there. Some of you ladies will work at home. I've learned that. I once said, the ladies that stay at home, that don't work. Ooh, I was in trouble afterwards. Eh? There was a queue. And then so to prove their point, Patty left me at home once with my three young boys. Goodness me, I said, you're never doing that again with me. But you know what? I'm prepared to do it with my grandchildren now. They're a lot better behaved than my boys were. It's true. You know what? We were newly saved when we had our boys. And so we hadn't matured in that area. So you need to be looking to grow in that area all the time so that you may be faithful. You know what? As parents, we have to be faithful with bringing our children up. And we need to be faithful with bringing them up in this community as well. Because in the word, nobody grew up on their own. They grew up in the village, in the community. The child would be parented by all the people. Overcoming is not for perfection, but it's reaching for that victory that God has got for you. Pushing into what He has for you. I laugh, my son, Dan, three of his kids are at school this year. So it's sports day. And now he's not cared about the two girls. He's just to the little boy, hey, you must run like this. You must look like this. You must do that. You must do this. And the little girl did far better than he did. But he was aiming him. Whereas a little girl, if she had not done what she did, she would have won. She was like, and also she didn't want to get in front of the other girls. Oh. Guys, when we run for Jesus, we just run, focused on Him. All of us have to overcome worldly unbelief. Many of us don't believe what Jesus has for us. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you are living a life of unbelief. You haven't come to the place where you have surrendered your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're living in a place of unbelief. We must also overcome in the area of unfaithfulness. That's why at the end he's going to say, well done, good and faithful. We have to be faithful with what we do. I see so many people go off at a tangent and they really end up getting hurt and they shipwreck their kids. Everything we do is being watched. Are we faithful? Are we not faithful? So as believers, we need to overcome unbelief. This morning, if you're sitting here and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you need to overcome that unbelief. Jesus, I respond to you. I'm looking forward. I can see the rewards that you have for me. As believers, we need to overcome unfaithfulness. And you know what? We're going to have to endure to the end in obedience. It's not easy. It's not easy to walk your life that you get to the end and you can honestly say, I did this thing. This morning, one of the old guys that was in Durbanville with me, Julie Delisle's father, passed away. He's been sick for a while. And we all feel sorry for ourselves. Oh, he's died. But you know what? He's not. He's had cancer. He's been in serious pain. He's not crying anymore. And he kept on saying, I just want to go. I just want to go. I just want to go. We hang on to life. He was saying, I don't want this anymore. I want to go. And so, folk, we need to be those that are hearing what the Spirit is saying, overcoming what we face in life, and pushing into the reward that Jesus has for us. I wonder if whoever's going to be, are you going to be playing, Lindy?